So, John Clark, we are talking about kind of music and kind of disability and how those two things have connected in your life. A bit of background, you and I have wrote a song together and released a song together. I've done a podcast with you previously on your Microbrew show for Microbrew Radio, The Wheel of Life. And these podcasts are generally just inspiring conversations with interesting people, you know, and you're probably one of the most inspiring people and interesting people I've ever met, and I'm totally blown away by you and what you do. So I think that, you know, we need to hear your voice and we need to hear your story a little bit. And yeah, I mean, if we start with music, you know, how has music been a part of your life?
We're gonna do secret. What a beautiful introduction that was. Yes, so I, a little bit of background to myself, really. I suffer from cerebral palsy, which affects all my four limbs. I was born premature, 12 weeks premature, and then. Music has always been a massive part of my life, like from being born. My mom actually played Mozart to me in the incubator when I was born, because she thought it would aid in my recovery. Then music has always surrounded me, really. It's been like a tonic for me. When I was coming to terms with my disability, particularly in my adolescent years, that was a particularly difficult time for me. So music has always been like a constant companion, I like to say. And at the minute, I do, as you said, Chris, I do a show with my wonderful joint host, Rich. Shout out to Rich if you're listening.
I'm sure Rich will be listening.
And we've been doing that since October last year. And that's kind of where I am now. I mean, I did a lot of things to get to that point, but we'll probably go into that a little bit late.
Yeah, that sounds great. So when you were talking about music being a constant companion, and particularly during your adolescence, which songs, music, artists kind of grasped you?
Probably Coldplay. Coldplay were massive for me. There's actually a story that I've never spoken to anybody live on a podcast before. When I was about 11, I was really struggling with my life. And I didn't want to continue with things. And then I heard the song Yellow, when it came out in 20 years ago, I can't believe that, when it came out, and that, I never looked back really from that point. I always got down, but never to that level again.
So is that song like really meaningful?
Yes, I mean, as you know, people won't be able to see, but I'm covered in tattoos. And so that song, particularly the lines, look at the stars, look at the track view, that really resonated with me as a physically disabled teenager going to a mainstream school. Because I was one of the first physically disabled people to go to a mainstream school in the entirety of Devonshire.
That's amazing. I remember we've spoken about that sort of previously. I mean, what kind of barriers did you come up against exploring this sort of mainstream
sport? What kind of barriers? How long have you got, Chris? First of all, when I first started, I went there in 1999, when I started year 7, so the first year of work, and they didn't even have a functioning lift at that point.
Wow.
So I had to wait for the lift to be completed. So in order to get from the ground floor to the second floor, I had to walk round the outside through the local library, which was interconnected up to the second floor, and that was the same for every lesson. And in their infinite wisdom, the school never thought to put all of my lessons on one level. So I spent half my life going out in the freezing cold and the all weather to get to lessons. And then I was quite severely bullied right up until year 7 to year 11. And then it was only when I went into sixth form that I actually started enjoying my school life. Thankfully, I had a very dear friend who you've actually come across yourself, Chris, a wonderful musician named John Coley. We actually went to school together.
Yes.
And we've remained friends ever since.
So. It's incredible. Yeah. Yeah. Is that the guy that played on your birthday?
Yes.
He's unreal. He's an amazing talent.
I only wish he could realise how good he was, because other people, not just himself, have said to me, John's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, John's amazing, but he can't see it. So if he could see it, then I wish he could just see it more. Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely. So what was it about sixth form that sort of improve things for you?
All the not so nice people that left, and it was the genuine people who stayed, and I had to stay on an extra couple of years to finish my A-level, and I just felt totally accepted, in a way my chair disappeared. That's the only way you can describe it. My chair disappeared for people.
So really, the change is about other people, isn't it? It's not necessarily about yourself and yourself changing, but it's about those people around you and how they embraced you and how they kind of, you know, and how you embrace them and how that kind of that sense of when we, just for people that are listening, you know. So I mean, I was privileged enough to come to your birthday party recently online, and what I got there, you know, was this sense of togetherness, this sense of we, this sense of everyone supporting each other, and you know, it was wonderful, and that's definitely what I got from that.
I have to say that birthday party, hands down, that Zoom birthday party was one of the most profound experiences I've ever had in my life. That all those people there, and I include yourself in this, Chris, were so dear to me, and they were the ones who started my journey until working for Microbrew Radio and doing the Wheel of Life. It was one of the most special experiences of my life. And the thing that I realised and it's all about connection. And I think what this time has taught us, it's all about connection, and it is about the small things in life, if you take my meaning.
I do.
Like, the big things, the small things are the big things, and I think that's where circularity really resonates with me, because it's about that collective energy that drives to help one another. It's not about the individual, it's about everybody pulling together for the same unifying goal.
That's it. I need to take you with me wherever I go to say that, because that's the simplest way of explaining it, and you're absolutely right. It's you can do stuff on your own, that's fine, you know, but it'll take ages. And the more people that are involved with a shared collective vision, providing all their energy and all of their time, not all of it, obviously, but, you know, all working together to achieve something, then it happens. Microbrew Radio wouldn't work if it was just, you know, Matt and Jay, mate. It wouldn't work. There's a team of people all together bringing that concept to life. Circularity won't work without a number of people. I can't do it on my own. Me and Rob can't do it on our own.
Be quite honest, Chris. I think that's the same in life in general. I think particularly before the pandemic, we were too individualistic of the human race. And I think what the pandemic has taught us is the fact that we are all in it together. Literally. You see what I mean?
And I see exactly what you mean. And I think you've hit the nail on the head. I mean, after we did our Microbrew Radio show, The Wheel of Life, together, you know, myself, yourself and Rich, I sort of had a look at your blog. And I realised what a fierce intellect you were, and it blew me away. And I didn't when we were doing the Microbrew Radio show, I didn't realise that, and I don't think that was right that I didn't realise that. You know what I mean? And it was when Rich said, he sent me a link to your blog, and we spoke about writing a song together. And my overriding thought was, this voice needs to be heard. This intellect needs a platform. And I just want to make sure that we can speak about that today, because I think that sometimes, you know, we don't realise what people are capable of. I think it's what I'm trying to say. And that's why we wrote a song together, because I wanted to help and give you that platform, you know, to have your voice heard and all of that sort of stuff. And that's why we're doing this today, and that's why we did Microbrew. And I think it's all about being in the service of others, is where the answers are. And seeing what people it's listening. It's just listening. You're listening to people, you spend time with people, you figure people out, and you figure out what needs to happen, and then you make it happen. And I've not got any question to ask you there, but I just wanted to make that statement on that.
Thank you. I suppose I should really speak about my blog more. I mean, I haven't written one for a long, long time now. I'm actually still in the process of writing one about when I travelled to West Africa, to Gambia, and all the things that I found out about myself, mainly as well as a disabled person, but also as a human being. My blog, as with everything in life that I'm finding, I have a tremendous urge to help people and to change the perception of disability. Because, yes, it's like, my disability, my chair is me, and my disability is me, but it's only one facet of me. And if I can show people that, yes, whatever your limitations, you can't transcend them. As you well know, Chris, I like the idea of transcending things and just trying to find a way around your limitations and changing your expectations. I've been through an awful lot in my life, an awful lot. Not just with my disability, but with other things as well. And it taught me to just try and do your best for the people and be a good person. And that makes you feel good. It's all about other people. Because at the end of the day, when we get old or we finish with life, what actually means something? The connections you make, the people that you've helped, the people you've connected with, that's the most important bit. It's like yesterday, Rich and I had an episode on Microbe Radio. I interviewed somebody, and then I had the episode, and they sent me a voice message near enough crying because they were so thankful that I'd given them that voice. And that, to me, is worth more than all the money in the world. Genuinely.
I think that's it, isn't it? It's just speaking, just listening, figuring out what people need, and then doing it. Like, you know, some of the things that you've sort of sent me some voice messages about how maybe you could help out with circularity, and I'm going, you don't have to do that.
I always have a need to give back. If I'm not doing something to help people, then I'm bored. I can't sit on my bum all day, even though that's what I do. I just can't sit and do nothing.
Yeah.
Everything I've been through has to be for a reason. And maybe that's part of me as a person, but I have to push myself. It's got to be a force for good. My disability, it has to be. Otherwise, then what's the point? I'm not saying I was given it for a reason, but I've got to use it in a positive way.
Yeah.
Not saying I don't get down, Chris, because I have terrible down days, we all do, but I've just got to try and do my best.
And I think it is about, I was thinking about what you were saying there and the value that we get. Once we transcend these limitations and we actually accept them and, you know, we talk about them as almost, I don't want to say the word vulnerabilities, but that's the word that's used, if you know what I mean, when people talk about themselves, you know. And, you know, that's the bit where we can have other people to fill our cup, you know, and we have... If we can accept that, also have that same mindset of actually, I can fill somebody else's cup as well, then we're just filling each other's cups all the time, and yeah. Therefore everyone's cup's getting full, and therefore everyone's happy.
Yeah.
And I've waffled on about that for a bit, but that feels like what you're kind of saying, really.
Not just the clarity, but I have to give a shout out to Microbrew and what the lads of Microbrew have done. Like, I was speaking to them today, actually, and they said to me, "Well, we've just given you the platform." And I'm like, "Well, yes, but without that platform, other things wouldn't have happened." So, it's all, not to sound too coy about it, but it's all, it comes back to circularity. It's all in a circle.
Mm.
Like, as people probably realize, I have a speech impairment. And I was always told that I couldn't sing. And yes, I don't have the greatest control of my vocal cords or anything like that. But thanks to not a project, I realized that yes, I can have a voice. There's a project run by Terry and not a good artist called Singing Susanity. She made me realize that anybody can sing. It doesn't have to be necessarily be good, but it's all about the act of singing, and how beneficial that it is for your mental health. And she won't have it, along with many, many other people, and I include you in this as well, Chris. I will never be able to adequately tell you how thankful I am. So, thank you to Terri-Ann and to everybody else in between.
So you spoke about your time in Africa and how it helped shape you as a person. And I'd love to hear more about those experiences.
I had an EPA about... She'll kill me if I get the time. It's about a year and a half ago, 2 years. And she'd always... She spoke about Gambia. Now, I never heard of Gambia before. So I was like, oh, because... As you can probably appreciate, Chris, me travelling takes a lot. In case people don't know, my disability affects me. Like, I'm quite... I need a lot of equipment to get around and stuff. So travelling always takes that little bit of extra time. And Sonia... Shout out to Sonia. Sonia spoke about Gambia, and she literally said to me, well, why not? We can make it happen. And because obviously, like I said before, me traveling takes a lot more time and effort, and it took myself and Sonia about 3 months to sort out all the equipment, all my mobility equipment and stuff like that. And then I got out to West Africa, and that changed my life. Because out there I wasn't disabled. They were total strangers helping me get in and out of cars safely and stuff like that, like leg in the wing and stuff like that. So
wow.
I didn't feel disabled. And I remember there was one point where I was sat in a passenger seat, and I suddenly had the realization that if people saw me as they were driving, they would have no concept of my disability. Because in the UK, you can always see my chair, because I'm always sat in it. And but with me being sat in a normal car in the front, I wasn't disabled. And that was quite a big realization for me. Stuff like being able to go in the sea for the first time in a decade and stuff like that. Like I said, Gambia is a very poor country, it's a third world country, but people are so willing to help and stuff like that. So willing, it changed my perspective totally.
It reminds me of the, there's a word, Ubuntu, and it reminds me of that word, what you're talking about there. And that's, which is about, obviously, you know, the community, almost like the community acting as one entity.
Can I ask you a question, Chris? I mean, I know I've spoken to you before, but What was your first impression of myself and Rich when you came on our podcast?
Well, I'd actually watched a few of your podcasts before I came on. And my whole thing was around an anxiety that I would upset you by saying the wrong thing, or that I would not hear what you're saying and have to ask you to repeat yourself, and then that would, you know, upset you and all that sort of stuff. So it was more about not what I thought of you, but more about how I wanted to make sure that I got it right. And I don't know if that, I don't know whether that is a bit greedy of me, but there was definitely a concern that I was really conscious of not wanting to upset anyone. But then I think that's the way that I am anyway. I always worry about that.
Don't you find that it's weird as human beings how our perception of things is so different? Mm. Like the way I always think human beings are very critical of themselves. Like, we would never be as critical to anybody else as we are in our own heads.
Yeah.
And I always find that a very strange concept.
Yeah, yeah. And the first thing you said to me before we started recording the Microbrew show was, it's okay if you want to ask me to repeat myself. If you don't understand something I'm saying, you can just ask me to repeat it. And I was like, oh my God, you've just put, something that I've been worrying about for a good week or so. You've just put that to bed straight away just by thinking about that. And I don't know whether you maybe preempted some of my worries or anxieties, but just that just put me at ease straight away, you know.
I find because my speech can take a while to catch on. I find people are nervous about asking me to repeat myself.
Mm.
But the way I look at it, they're asking because they're interested.
Yeah.
If they weren't interested, they wouldn't ask you to repeat yourself. So that's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
Like, my voice is my voice. And yes, it is. It can be difficult to understand sometimes, but that's not people's fault. So I should be gracious enough and open enough to say, ask me 1,000 times. Genuinely mean that.
No, and the thing I think is that, you know, once you listen to somebody and you get to know somebody, we message a lot, right? And we talk to each other quite often, and you know, we've obviously done a few things together now. And the more you understand somebody, and you don't, you know, and it's just about spending time and putting some effort in and listening. Yes. Any relationship is hard to understand people to begin with.
And I think it's important, and I know we keep going back to this, Chris, but it's so important to listen to what people have got to say, because growing up, I wasn't listened to. I wasn't listened to by any stretch of the imagination. And I realised that I've got to listen to people. I can't following certain people's footsteps. That's why I'm always willing to just sit back and listen, because I wasn't listened to growing up. I think that's where my drive to be as accepting as possible comes from, because I wasn't listened to by any stretch of the imagination. So I think that's where my fierce determination comes from, to help other people have a voice who haven't got one. Because it took me a long time to find my voice, and in a way I'm still finding it.
Incredible. I could listen to you talk and reflect, and you're so wise, mate. I mean, that's what I get from you, you know. And you deserve to be heard, as everyone does.
I am so grateful for the people I have around me now. Like, and I include Rich and yourself and quite a lot of other people probably listening to this and they'll know who they are, but I can't. The stuff happening for me at the moment is just beyond my wildest dreams. Like, I can actually call myself a songwriter now. And for me, that's, I can't tell you. I feel, for the first time in my life, for a long time, I feel fulfilled and totally grounded. I always try and remain grounded because I think that's essential, but particularly at the moment, what's going on for me at the moment is just phenomenal. And I always try and be grateful. Like I said to you, as friends, Chris, I am grateful for my disability because I wouldn't have met the amazing people I have met without it. So in a way, I'm grateful for it because it's shaped who I am and it's shaped the experience I've been looking up to.
So I suppose to sort of put a close to this is that we've spoken about the past a little bit and we've spoken about the present a little bit, and I suppose we could maybe talk about the future a little bit to finish with. So I suppose what do you see firstly in your future?
Don't let me be good, Chris.
Go, just go, man, if whatever you want to say.
Stuff seems to be happening now, but, like, I'm writing with other people, other artists and friends, and but I'm surrounded by talented, genuine, loving people, and they can see me for my worth, and in turn that's making me see my own worth, because for a long time they've got lost a little bit for many, many years, and I didn't realize it until I've come out the other side once restrictions are lifted. Getting into the studio and actually trying to push the wheel of life and reaching more and more people. Like, I want to, and with you and I have spoken about this with my friend John, I want to try and get an accessible festival going. That's my next kind of project, like making music accessible to all people with disabilities, because people with disabilities sometimes don't get the opportunity to experience a festival. I've never experienced a full festival, so to be able to bring that to somebody, even if it's just in a small form, that's what I want to do, because I believe that festivals and music venues should be accessible to everybody, whether that be a physical disability or an invisible one. And I think that's why I'm going through quite a profound moment in my life where I'm actually realizing, going back to the circularity thing, Chris, as we are talking on the Circularity podcast, I'm realizing that nothing works without the help of other people. Like, the musicians that I'm collaborating with at the moment, some of the writing that's coming out of that is just phenomenal. So I would like to probably continue with my music and my songwriting, really.
Yeah.
As well as working on microphone and doing the Wheel of Life with Rich, which I adore. I adore doing that. Rich Richard Smalls, my closest friend, and I adore working with him. And I think we have really good energy between us. When we present, it works really well.
Yeah.
And to see his confidence, come on, I'm so proud of him. Genuinely, I'm proud to be his friend and I'm proud to work with him.